the one, the only, Les Paul. Les, welcome to our show.
You read your lines well. Thank you.
Yes, he does.
How are you, Les?
I'm fine. As fine as you can be at my age. Yeah, I'm fine.
Now, from what I'm reading, I guess in June you will celebrate your 87th birthday?
Well, I won't celebrate it, but I'll recognize it.
Now, I also read that every weekend you still get up on stage and play a little.
Well, I get up and go to the bathroom first. Then I go out and play. Yeah. I love to play. It's a lot of fun.
Now, who do you go on stage with? Do you have a band, or is it just you that goes up on stage? How do you work it out when you play?
Oddly enough, we have a band, but the guests that come in, like Joe Walsh, like the Allman Brothers, like Paul McCartney, it just goes on and on with all the guests, the Tony Bennett's that come in. Every Monday night, you can bet that we're going to have 3 or 4 surprise guests.
Because they all want to play with Les Paul.
Well, some of them can't play. Some of them are Howard Stern. They just hum.
People today don't realize that you play guitar. You say they think you are a guitar.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, when I go to the bank or something and I go to cash something, they're sort of stunned by it. You know, they kind of look me over and, it's a kind of a funny feeling. And yet, it's something that you appreciate because maybe a Bing Crosby or Sinatra might have made it.
that's right.
Guitars.
Let me ask you, Les. I mean, you started working. You loved technical things as a kid growing up. Tell me the story when you had an acoustic guitar as a boy, and I read this. You literally took the needle from a record player and jammed it into the strings to get some kind of feedback or electric sound.
That was the first impulse. I was playing a little barbecue stand, and the car hops would go around to the cars. And in the old cars, you know, they had a rumble seat.
Sure.
And in that rumble seat, there was a fellow scribbling out a note, red, "I can hear your voice. I can hear the harmonica loud enough, but the guitar can't hear it." And at that time, I was using my mother's telephone to sing into, and I had that on a broomstick and her radio, and we were covering those few cars there, and everything was fine, but that bothered me. And so I went home and figured, what's the easiest way to amplify a guitar to make it louder? And that's what happened. And I jabbed the needle in the top of the guitar, it fed back, it sounded terrible. And I just bought some socks, some napkins, and some tablecloths, chucked everything in there. Finally, in panic, I filled it with plaster Paris. None of it did what I wanted. I went over and I took a piece of railroad track. I lived near the railroad.
Uh-huh.
6 of us kids lugged that over, and I said, I'm going to string a railroad track up because I know that's the most extreme way of getting the guitar to act, the string to do what it's supposed to do. And I says, what would happen if I did it out of a piece of soft wood or cotton? I'd go just the opposite, the softest and the most dense. Okay? And when I made the railroad track, I went to my mother and I says, I just hit it, Mom. I got a bullseye going here. And I explained to her how the string on the railroad track was perfect. And my mom just says, well, the day you see a cowboy riding on a horse with a railroad track, that discouraged me. So I says, it's going to be wood. And thank God it was wood, because I've never seen a beautiful piece of railroad track like you can do with a beautiful piece of wood.
Now, I cannot believe the relationship has been going on for this long, but in 1952, you lent your name to Gibson Guitar, and from that point on, they've been putting out the Les Paul models of guitars. I mean, I go on the internet. You know, some of the guitars that you had made, or they had made with your name on them back in the 50s and 60s, these things are going for like over $30,000, $40,000.
It cost me a lot of money to buy all those guitars.
I got to ask you this. I was listening to it just the other day. Tell me about the sessions that you spent with the late Chet Atkins, and when you guys sat down and just plucked away on your guitars and the two of you made music together.
First of all, it was a wonderful idea. It was Chet's idea, and he called me one day and asked if I'd be interested in doing it. His idea was a little different than the way it turned out. His idea was he was going to play the violin and sing.
Oh, really?
And I was going to play the banjo and the harmonica. And he figured we'd kill him. But we heard it. We knew right then and there we'd better break for breakfast. And we went over to some diner or something, and we stopped there. And somehow the idea came about, what are we best known for? Well, I guess it's playing the guitar. Well, then why in the hell don't we do it? And we went back and chucked the idea of being funny and doing all that stuff and doing it on the guitars.
What is your opinion? I mean, obviously, when you first conceived the electric guitar, the multi-tracking, the echo, the reverb, you had no idea back in the late 30s, throughout the 40s, that there was going to be this thing, rock and roll. What did you think when you started seeing your guitar played in the manner of rock and roll?
Well, it was the best shock that you could ask for. And it was terribly important because at that time the Gibson people had just made up their mind to dissolve anything to do with the electrical instrument and go just dump it. Just dump the whole idea of amplifying an instrument. Yeah, and when I called them and told them that the streets were loaded with people, especially the British groups and the young generation were so serious about the Les Paul guitar that they were paying a fortune for them. And I went down on 49th Street, just a couple blocks from where we play now, and asked them in the store what goes. And the guy says, well, you know what? I'm closing this store right now. And I says, business bad? He says, I sold one of your guitars for $10,000. There's no reason to stay open the rest of the day.
Wow.
And he says, I've never seen anything like this in my life. And this is in the 50s. And so the whole world was changing. And it was the young generation that was the Jeff Becks and it was the Jimmy Pages and Aunt Jimi Hendrix, all those fellows that were playing the Les Paul guitar that made that major change.
And you obviously were not more pleased than that. Now, I know for a fact you've played on stage with some of the greatest rock legends of all time. You just mentioned a few of them. Who, I guess, in the rock and roll generation, did you enjoy playing with the most? Or you looked at them and you said, he's got it. This guy can play guitar.
Oh, Jeff Beck, I'd say, would be one of them right off. Well, both playing the same licks. It's just that they turn them around a little better, and you don't know where they got them from.
So they're
even. But I do.
Hey, well, before I let you go, Les, just to keep me in mind for one thing, if you're ever, like, playing a guitar and you just don't like the way it sounds and you're going to throw it away, send it to me.
Well, you play guitar?
No, my partner does, but I'd like to learn.
Well, who's your partner?
My partner, Mark Haney, right over here. Say hi, Haney.
How you doing, Les?
Hey, hi, Mark.
Yeah, I play guitar. Stan has tried to play guitar and would like to play guitar, but has come to the conclusion that he just can't.
Yeah. You know what?
How good are you on the guitar?
Oh, me? I had a band for a while.
Oh, you did?
He plays the blues.
Oh, that's great. I'm playing with Buddy Guy.
Yeah, that ought to be fun.
Yeah, I listen to Al Collins. I listen to a lot of the blues players. Oh, you know, Robin Ford, the whole bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love their music as much as I love what we played.
What do you think about Albert Collins with all the strange tunings and the capo?
Well, you just listen to what he says, and it's very simple to go there and do it. You finger them different, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah,
about the same.
I've always had a block with that. I just got to play it straight.
Really?
Yeah.
You better go somewhere and get your block fixed.
Les, I want to thank you so much for coming on and spending some time with us.
Well, one day I'll mosey down there and rattle your cage.
I appreciate it, and it's been a pleasure talking with you.
It's been a ball.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.